at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
This is Holly Robinson-Pete for Eggland's Best. Eggs are a staple in our diet, and there's only one egg with more delicious, farm-fresh taste plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best. With more vitamins, including 6 times more vitamin D and 10 times more vitamin E, plus 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. Available in so many delicious varieties, classic, cage-free, and organic. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
When you bundle renters and auto with Progressive, you can save while protecting your most valuable possessions, like your priceless vinyl collection. Sure, you sleep on a futon because the money most people would have spent on a bed, you spent on more records. But forget the fact that you can stream just about any song ever created for a few dollars a month. No, no, you need to listen to music in the most difficult way possible. So go ahead and get Progressive, so you can save while protecting the things that matter to you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House, President Trump criticized Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, renewing his calls for Powell to lower interest rates. The president also says he talked in concept of firing Powell with Republicans, but says it's highly unlikely he'll fire him.
I talked about the concept of firing him. I said, what do you think? Almost every one of them said I should. But I'm more conservative than they are.
President Trump nominated Powell during his first term in the White House. President Biden kept Powell as chair for another 4-year term. The House taking up a cryptocurrency package again a day after 12 Republicans joined Democrats to block the spending measures from advancing to the floor. More than 100 wildfires are burning in the U.S., two of them in Arizona near the Grand Canyon. Some rain helping fire crews today, but both fires are still 0% contained. And in the Gulf, a tropical storm could develop in the next 48 hours, targeting the Gulf Coast. This is ABC News. A new federal lawsuit filed by the former interim New York City Police Commissioner Thomas Donlan alleges the nation's largest police force is criminal to its core. ABC's Aaron Katursky says Donlan was appointed by Mayor Eric Adams.
Thomas Donlan briefly led the NYPD as interim commissioner, and he effectively compares the organization to a mafia family and accuses it of violating RICO statutes in the way that he says Eric Adams ran the department. Under his leadership, the lawsuit says the machinery of public safety was not used to serve the people of New York City, but was repurposed to protect political allies and punish internal dissent.
Adams's press secretary called the accusations absurd. Adams is currently running for re-election. People out hiking prevented a potential arsonist along a popular L.A. trail. Video showing the suspect yards from a burning tree. Hikers surrounded him until police got there. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Switching to Progressive is a game-winning call. And that reminds us of other game-winning calls in the history of sports.
It was a doubleheader in August, and really hot inside the concession stand. So instead of waiting for people to come to me, I figured I'd walk around yelling,
"Hot dogs here!"
And that's how I became the first hot dog vendor in sports.
Okay, not really a game-winning call, but it was a good call. You can make one, too. Switch to Progressive, and you could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Lack of funding will force the closure of two facilities for at-risk Wisconsin veterans. The Veterans Housing and Recovery Program offers temporary housing, training, and other support services to veterans who are homeless or at risk of becoming homeless. Department of Veterans Affairs Assistant Deputy Secretary Joy Hoy.
The ones in Green Bay and Chippewa Falls are the two that we're closing. We will continue to run the Union Grove facility, which is southwest of Milwaukee.
Governor Tony Evers blames Republican lawmakers for cutting $1.9 million in funding for the program from the state budget. Home sales in the metropolitan Milwaukee area take a dramatic jump.
A new report from the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors notes June sales jumped 13.7% from a year earlier, a sizable increase, but less impressive than it seems. The report notes sales slumped beginning in mid-2022 and have remained anemic ever since. Plenty of buyers are chasing too few listings, and realtors say the only way to meet demand and ease price pressure is to increase new construction, which continues to lag in Milwaukee's metro and nationwide. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A new shipwreck is discovered in Oshkosh during a search for another sunken vessel.
Members of the Wisconsin Historical Society's Maritime Preservation Program and Wisconsin Underwater Archaeological Program teamed up this spring to search the Fox River for the wreck of the Berlin City. That led to the discovery of a partially buried hull. That hull belonged to the L.W. Crane, a wooden steamer that burned and sank in 1880 at the slip of the St. Paul Railroad in Oshkosh. Research into the Crane and other shipwrecks in the Fox River is ongoing. Terry Kovarik, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Looking for outdoor power equipment for your lawn and garden projects? Anibis Silo is your home for Husqvarna and Toro lawn and garden equipment. Anibis Silo has the right equipment solution for you to tackle any job. Need a piece of equipment repaired? Anibis Silo also now has small engine service and repair. The service staff can repair all makes and models of lawn and garden equipment. Visit Anibis Silo, Highway 25 Durand, for your lawn and garden equipment needs.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Showers and thunderstorms on and off throughout the day today and even into the night. Some could be strong to severe. Much, much cooler, though, and refreshing. Highs in the mid-70s. Stay stuck to the mid-70s tomorrow and even for Friday. The sunshine will return on Thursday. Need a getaway or change of scenery? Check out Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Right now, it's 62 degrees.
Produced by Farm and Ranch Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, hello, welcome in. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Agriculture of America. Good to have you along here on AOA. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on the show today, we are going to take a look at a new land values report out this week from Farmers National Company. Their Senior Vice President of Farm and Real Estate, Paul Shattuck, will join us for a conversation in segment two. Coming up in segment three, we're going to talk markets and have a conversation with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. We're going to close out the show in segment four. We're going to learn about a rebrand within the Red Angus Association of America. They've rebranded a program to Angus Access. We're going to get details on that with Katie Martin, their Director of Communications, coming up later in program. A lot to get to here today on AOA. Let's get things started, though, and talk about Rural Road Safety Week happening here this week. Joining us for that conversation, he is Nationwide's agribusiness risk leader. Laramie Sandquist is with us. Laramie, welcome back to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Jesse. Thanks for having me.
So give us a quick overview of Rural Road Safety Awareness Week, which I know, of course, I think about all of our farmers and ranchers who are moving heavy equipment around our rural roads and so much more, and people traveling for summer trips and whatnot. There's always a lot of activity on those rural roadways, isn't there?
Yeah, you're not kidding. Especially here in Des Moines where we are, we've got a lot of activity going on as the summer months go on. And, you know, it's interesting. We did this perception survey earlier in the year just asking folks how they felt about the city traffic versus the rural traffic. And, you know, not surprisingly, less than one in 10 thought that the rural roads were especially dangerous. So not a lot of people think the rural roads are dangerous. Obviously, we drive them every day. We understand what's going on out there. But unfortunately, what the numbers are telling us is that 40% of all deaths happening on the roadways are happening in rural roads. And that's to, and that's along with only 30% of the traffic driving through the rural roads. So with that data, we're just trying to get out to folks and give them some perspective on what's going on out there, but also share some tips and tricks on how we can be a little safer out there on the roads.
And I know you shared with me as well some findings. You mentioned a few of them from an Insurance Institute for Highway Safety analysis that was a couple years ago. And here was one that jumped out at me. Over 70% of rural crash deaths happened at speeds of 55 miles per hour or higher, Laramie. And, you know, I instantly think about, you know, maybe a slow moving tractor. Someone comes over a hill. They're not paying attention like they should be. And that could be the recipe for disaster.
Yeah, Jesse, you hit on it. You know, we have a lot of different things out there on the roadways today that maybe we didn't even have 5 to 10 years ago. Obviously, we've always had the slow-moving vehicles out there that I think everyone's aware of. But now you think about the ATVs and the UTVs that are out there on the roadways. You think about RAGBRAI coming up in Iowa next week. We've got a lot of people that are exercising on the side of our rural highways now. Days between bikers or people running and walking and things like that. And so just a lot more extra things out there. And then you think about the distractions that are on people's minds as well. You know, if you're distracted on a four-lane interstate, you do have some margin for error on the shoulders and things like that. But if you're distracted on a rural road, those roads are a lot narrower. Sometimes they don't even have a shoulder, let alone a full shoulder. So the margin for error at 55 miles an hour is a lot more slim than it is on an interstate highway.
Absolutely. Laramie Sandquist with Nationwide is joining us here today talking about Rural Road Safety Awareness Week happening this week. And you mentioned a few of those commonly overlooked hazards on rural roads. So from Nationwide's side, what are some tips? What are some things that people need to think about and keep in mind as they're traveling those rural roadways across America?
Yeah, what we found is, you know, driver error is probably your number one reason. Distracted driving is your secondary reason. And then fatigue is probably your third as far as the highest risks out there when we're looking at rural roads. We're looking at the overall landscape that's out there, of course. You know, I talked about some of the narrow roads, the windy roads, and some people that are just unfamiliar with the rural roads. But then you also just think about the behavioral characteristics. Over 50% of these people dying on the roads, whether it be rural roads or urban roads, don't have a seatbelt on. So the simple act of just buckling that belt when you get behind the wheel can be a lifesaver for most people.
Laramie, if folks want to learn more, they want to take a look at more tips, et cetera, and get some info from Nationwide, I know you guys have a lot of resources available. Talk about that.
Yeah, Jesse, as you know, we rolled out our Drive the Five program just last year, focusing on those five main characteristics, D being distraction-free, R being rested and alert, I being under the influence, B being maintaining those vehicles appropriately, and then E, of course, being our catch-all of just understanding the environment. All of those materials and information is available on nationwide.com/AIC. A lot of tips and tricks and training materials, not only for, you know, customers and employees, but also for some of our younger generation, our kids. And as you know, we partnered with Dale Earnhardt Jr. on our Champion Rider Safety ATV UTV Safety Awareness. This is another opportunity to keep that out in front of folks as well, as we've been doing with the youth and the communities out there, too.
Got about a minute and a half here, Laramie. What final reminders would you leave folks with here as we're talking about rural road safety, not just as we, you know, practice awareness this week, but every single day of the year across the country? What would you leave folks with? What would you reiterate to them?
Yeah, a couple of things, especially on rural roads, slow down, right? We know there's slow moving vehicles. We know there's less margin for error. You think about it, 55 miles an hour. In just 5 seconds, you're traveling the length of a football field. And so to look down at a cell phone or look to grab something out of a passenger seat, that may take you a good 5, 6, 7 seconds. And you don't realize how fast you're going. But then the second one I would just say is make sure that we're making everyone aware of this, right? We do perception surveys, like I said, and most people don't think about rural roads being unsafe. They don't think about themselves being a bad driver. And sometimes we just do have to take that look back in the mirror and say, hey, am I doing the right things every day? Am I human and distracted from time to time? And what steps can I personally take? And what can I share with my family and my friends, my community to make everyone safer on the rural roads?
Good tips and good reminders, of course. And again, real quick, Laramie, what is that website for more information?
Nationwide.com/AIC.
Nationwide.com/AIC for more. Laramie Sandquist with Nationwide. Always good to talk with you, Laramie. And I know plenty of hot weather across the country, and it sounds like it could be a hot week next week for all those ragbri festivities across Iowa you were talking about. So hopefully you enjoy the rest of your summer, and we'll look forward to having you back on the program again real soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jesse.
Laramie Sandquist with Nationwide joining us here today on AOA. He is their agribusiness risk leader. Coming up next here on the program, we're going to segue over and talk about farmland values. A new report out from Farmers National Company takes a look at the ag land market and appears that things are remaining somewhat resilient amid a lot of this economic uncertainty that we have been hearing about and talking about in terms of the ag economy. Paul Shadegg, he is the Senior Vice President of Farm and Real Estate for Farmers National Company. He'll join us next to tell us more and give us some details on that new land values report. Back with more on AOA right after this.
Cats are masters at using up their nine lives, like chasing laser pointers into walls or jumping onto high shelves. But the one thing cats never do? Text while driving. So be like a cat and protect your one and only life. Don't text and drive.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
On the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we got an update on trade and tariffs and the importance of having new markets and demand for corn with Nancy Martinez and Jolene Reeson from the NCGA.
What's really important to realize is it's all about demand. Corn growers need new markets to create that demand. And more demand ultimately puts positive pressure on prices so farmers can make a living. So we have to have these new markets to boost demand and ultimately allow our farmers to be able to, you know, financially put back into their local communities.
I mean, we do a good job feeding what we can to the livestock that's available, but you know, as farmers, we're too good at what we do, and so we make extra, which is for the farm economy, which is great because if you don't have it, you can't sell it. For the economic part of it, too much is burdensome, and so we need markets to move this product.
Learn more online at ncga.com. Farm and Ranch Media is your go-to source for the latest news of agriculture, market information, ag weather, and much more. With the American Ag Network, Agriculture of America, AOA, and Market Talk, we keep you informed on the news and issues that matter for your operation. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why we'll keep you farm informed with the American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
As we continue here on today's AOA, let's get an update on how land values are looking. What is happening with that ag land market? There's been plenty of economic uncertainty in farm country. What has that meant for values when it comes to farmland sales and much more? Joining us for a conversation, he is Senior Vice President of Farm and Real Estate for Farmers National Company. Paul Shattuck is with us here today. Paul, it's good to talk with you again. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Jesse. Thanks for having me on.
I know a new report out this week, taking a look at everything going on in terms of the ag land market. And it sounds like things have remained somewhat resilient, even amid some economic uncertainty. Paul, can you give us kind of the headline overview to start?
Yeah, Jesse, you know, since you and I talked here about 6 months ago, we analyzed that again in that land value press release. And, you know, surprisingly, we continue to be amazed that land values are holding their own, even though we're in the midst of some governmental changes and commodity markets feeling some pressure and overall profitability in agriculture in general. That demand part of the equation is what's really helping hold that resiliency in the land value market.
Well, thinking about this, I know USDA forecasting their net farm income for 2025 to be the lowest since 2020. And it's felt like a lot of producers, they're holding their cards a little close to the vest. They don't like commodity prices, of course. Things are in the doldrums there. They're looking hard at the balance sheets. What are they doing in terms of farmland here, by and large? Are they holding tight? Is there land coming onto the market? Things like that. I mean, as we look broadly at this, any trends you're seeing right now, Paul?
Yeah, one trend we've seen over the past year and even probably longer than that, closer to 2 years, is that we're seeing less land being offered for sale. And that's probably for a couple reasons. I know one that we have a lot of conversations with longtime landowners that said, you know, it's what else can I do with that money that would give me more appreciation than what I've seen over the last 25 to 50 years? And so that's part of it, that some of that is staying in pretty strong hands. And then, you know, the other side of that is some of the investors that have stepped in and bought and probably had some intentions of rolling out of that have decided that that's a good asset to own. So they're holding on to it also. And you talk about, you know, these farm operators are still the primary buyer of land. And there are a lot of those farm operators that went through some pretty tough times in the past and have held on to some cash, and they're waiting for that strategic opportunity to deploy that cash into expansion of their operation.
That's a great point you bring up, and that's maybe something I feel like we've seen that before, where some producers, when you get a lot of folks who are pulling in the reins and contracting in a down cycle, you get some producers who use that as an opportunity and an advantage point to grow their operation. Is that a trend we've seen before, Paul?
Yeah, I think so. And you said it well in the way that I look at it is opportunity. There are some of those guys are kind of they're the silent influencer that has kind of stepped on the side and watched some of these land values go up. And they're kind of waiting for that opportunity to step in. And we've seen that in the past. We saw it when we came out of the 70s and 80s farm crisis in the 90s and the early 2000s, there were a lot of guys that stepped in and started buying farms for cash. And they were the ones that kind of just kept putting it in the coffee can and burying it in the backyard. And when the time was right, they were able to take advantage of that opportunity.
I know within this full report, there's a regional breakdown. Is there one area of the country in particular that is stronger than the others right now, Paul, as we get into the middle part of 2025?
You know, we continue to see strength in the I states, Iowa, Indiana, and Illinois. We they have traditionally been where the strength is at, and they continue to be. But with that being said, we do see some pockets of in Kansas and Missouri that that are seeing some still above average values for land. And in the, within those same areas, we also have some pockets where there's some depressed values because of either continued drought, production issues, and in a lot of cases, when you get farther out west, irrigation water is becoming more and more of a concern.
Well, I know folks can view this full report, farmersnational.com. They can also find a link to the story at agricultureofamerica.com. We're talking with Paul Shattuck from Farmers National Company. Paul, kind of on the flip side of that, you know, we talk about strong regional areas. Are there any areas that are maybe looking a little weaker according to this latest report?
You know, one area that, I didn't mention that we do see some strength is in the Dakotas. You know, we talk about the I states because that's where typically most of the activity is. But we've seen some pretty good strength in South Dakota, North Dakota. Some of their university reports that came out are talking about an uptick of 5% instead of a downtick of, 5%. But overall, where we're seeing the most pressure is some of those outlying areas. I just got a report on Texas and what the land values have done down there, that they're seeing some settling. And then when you go farther out west, western Kansas, western Nebraska, there's some settling of, values out there.
All right. Looking ahead for the rest of 2025, as we kind of get out our crystal ball a little bit here, Paul, and look at what these trends have been doing and more, is there any key takeaway that you have and Farmers National has as we look here to the next 6+ months ahead as we go through the rest of the year and even look into the early part of 26?
Yeah, and that's what we're focused on right now is, you know, how do we end 2025? And my strongest opinion is going to be in relation to farm profitability. That's going to make a difference for both operators and investors alike, whether or not they are equipped and whether or not they have the appetite to step into a land market where and what level it's at. We can't discount these geopolitical events that are happening around the world that are, those could definitely affect profitability and subsequently the activity in the land market. So those are the two big factors that I think about on a day-to-day basis. And then again, you and I talked about it earlier, is this forecast for net farm income. There's, you know, we still have to harvest the crop, but when you look at where do we think these markets are going to land, there's going to be some pressure on them unless we see some dramatic changes in estimated production.
Great thoughts. We got time for a couple wrap-up things from you here. We got about a minute and a half. I mean, what would you leave producers with as they're looking at overall land values, they're looking at their operation, et cetera, anything else you would add or reiterate for folks today, Paul?
Yeah, you know, we're in one of those cycles of volatility, and I can tell you that in my history with agriculture real estate, when you're in those periods of volatility, you get a lot of questions. You have a lot of landowners reaching out for your advice or expertise on what should we do next. Should we retain ownership? Should we sell? Is it, you know, what's the best option right in today's market? And so we do see a lot of demand for our services during those periods of time. But the last thing that I'll leave listeners with is that the best way to describe the land market today is that economic principle of supply and demand. There are just simply more motivated buyers out there in today's market than there are sellers in general. And as long as that happens, there's going to be some stability in the land market. So the best advice is to be sure you're well equipped to make those decisions to move your operation forward.
Again, folks can go to farmersnational.com for more information. Always appreciate the time. Paul Shattuck, Senior Vice President of Farm and Real Estate for Farmers National Company. Paul, have a great week. Thanks for joining us again on AOA.
Thank you, Jesse.
All right, coming up next, been a lot of talk on social media the last several days about the markets and yield models and so much more. We're going to dive into that topic and talk about things with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. He'll join us next here on AOA.
If you don't have final expense life insurance, this message is for you. LifeCare provides valuable information about whole life insurance to help cover final expenses, medical bills, burial costs, and other final expenses. Enrollment is fast and available to anyone between the ages of 50 and 80. No medical exam, no lengthy questionnaires, and no waiting period. Just answer a few questions and we will do the rest. With the average funeral costing $9,420 and Social Security only paying $255, you need simple peace of mind for you and your whole family. Don't leave behind unpaid expenses. Your premium will never increase. Your policy will have a cash value and a death benefit that can never decrease. To find out how you can get final expense life insurance with a lifetime lock, call 800-260-7322. That's 800-260-7322. 800-260-7322.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Milk markets were higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk up 34 to 1756, September up 20 to 1821, October up 12 to 1863, November up 7 at 1857. Triple-digit gains in the live and feeder cattle markets as feeder cattle led the entire livestock and cattle complex higher as the lack of buyer pressure in the markets in general, and specifically feeder cattle, has markets pushing even higher with very little resistance currently seen. Hog futures also moved higher following gains in outside financial markets and continued buyer support, not only into the hog markets, but also because of the strength of the cattle markets. August live cattle up $1.50 to $223.90. August feeder cattle up $3.30 to $325.57. August hogs up 50 cents to $104.42. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all higher. Soybeans led the entire grain complex higher on short covering and meal helping to support soybeans as well, with a big jump in meal prices. Corn higher due to strength in beans and also short covering to ease oversold conditions. Wheat markets followed the rest of the complex higher as well. New crop at corn up 4.25 to 424. New crop beans up 18.75 to 1020.5. September wheat up 3.25.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
The Durand Improvement Group invites you to Music in the Park this Thursday night at 6 at Memorial Park in Durand. Music from Corey Wise, plus learn about area Durand businesses with the Durand Business Expo. And for the kids, they're going to get a chance to touch a truck with the Durand Fire Department, Police Department, and Durand EMS. Food and refreshments also available. Best of all, admissions free. It's Music in the Park with Corey Weiss and the Durand Business Expo, Thursday night at 6 at Memorial Park in Durand.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
as we roll on here on today's AOA. Let's talk markets. Joining us now, always good to have a conversation with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. Arlen, welcome back to the show. Hope all is well.
Hey, good to be back with you again, Jesse.
Well, I appreciate the time. We have a lot of ground to cover, probably not enough time to do it, but we're going to do our best. And I want to start here. I know you and I have talked about this a bit, but there's been a lot of commotion on social media the last couple of days over a yield model that you shared, that you've shared for many, 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 many years. And I know that a lot of the backlash, I guess, from folks has been that, you know, the markets are in just such a doldrum kind of place. And it's one of those interesting things, though, because to the point you made in response is that the way these markets are now, funds, algorithms, so much more, this is the kind of data that they have and that they are trading. And it's important for farmers to understand that this is what they are trading. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, my yield model isn't unique by any means. And what I've tried to do is a little bit of education, but I did it in an environment in which there are some farmers and in some cases some marketing advisors who miss some opportunities or lacking opportunities and are undersold and are frustrated by that or looking for someone to blame. And I've taken the brunt of that. But it's been my goal always to provide to farmers the same information that the big boys have, so to speak, in trading, so that farmers have that same information, could act accordingly as appropriate to understand what's going on, and then if they need to do something, to go ahead and do it. And I'm constantly, year after year, asked, what's your yield model show? And what a yield model does is, a yield model does not predict what the yield is going to be 2-3 months from now. A yield model simply says this is a snapshot today of the crop's yield potential. And that yield potential will change, which is why I would put out every week, okay, this week is what the yield model says, so you can track how the yield model is going up and down until you get to harvest. And if you look at the history of my yield model, over the last dozen years, it's been off on average 0.1%. Now, that's average. What does that mean? Some years it over predicts what the final yield is. Some years it under predicts. And here's the reason why. A yield model based on crop condition ratings, you have to understand crop condition ratings. They're a beauty contest. What does the crop look like? And if the crop looks good, it gets a high rating. If it looks bad, it has a poor rating. The crop looks best in June. When things are growing well, typically, unless you have a major drought like 2012 or something like that, that's when it looks best. And then the more it matures, just like we people, the older we get more wrinkles and don't look quite as good. And so the visual rating starts to decline. Well, in my work and research, I have found that despite all the people saying there's a poor correlation, no, the correlation is pretty good if you understand the dynamics. Once the understanding in the industry is that the corn crop is made in July in pollination, and to a great extent, that's true. That's the biggest time when you can have a negative impact on yield, is if you had adverse weather like heat and drought during pollination. But the next most important time is August during grain fill. If August is hot, you speed up the maturation process, and the kernels will have less depth to them. And so if your kernel is 5 to 10% smaller, your yield is correspondingly going to be smaller as well, because you'll have a lot more kernels to make a bushel. On the other hand, if it's seasonally mild, you slow down the maturation process. The plant spends more time developing that kernel. You have depth of kernel. And if the kernel is 5 to 10%, longer or bigger, then you have fewer kernels to make up a bushel and your yield correspondingly goes up. So if you have a mild August, my yield model is going to understate what the final yield is. If you have a hot August, it's going to overstate what the yield is. But all these years put together, it comes out pretty close on average, and it gives us a picture what today's yield potential is. Mm-hmm. And that lack of understanding, I think, is also causing a lot of the lack of understanding, so to speak. But I've had a number of people reach out to me privately and say, my yield model is the same as yours. Mine is higher than yours. I've been walking the fields. I think that's where the yield potential is, that type of thing. But bottom line is, I'm just trying to provide information to farmers that the big boys are trading off of to explain why the markets are doing what they're doing.
Well, thank you, Arlen, for that explanation. I'm glad you shared that with us. And something that I believe you were the first to start sharing this here a few days ago is we're getting some reports of some pollination issues in corn that are starting to show up in various pockets of the country, to go along with a few pockets that are dry. I know a lot of folks have had really good weather, but like every year, there are some areas and some issues that are starting to show up.
Yeah, exactly right. And what most people don't realize is I was an agronomist before I worked in the markets. I walked many, many, many cornfields and spent a lot of time in the industry from an agronomist standpoint. And we started picking up on the problem of pollination, and everyone's searching for a reason, because for the most part, the weather is good. There are those areas where tight whirls explain it, but that doesn't explain the whole problem. And I think it's something different than what we're seeing, but the bottom line is there is a problem. It's not the same everywhere. It tends to depend on what numbers, what hybrids were planted predominantly in what area, and the other factors at play as well. But it does say that you do need to be walking the fields, pull back the husk if once you've got far enough along that the pollination would show up, and see what the pollination issues are. Was it good or was it not? That is something we have to pay attention to. And the crop ratings aren't going to show that in July. The crop ratings, again, is what the plant look like. They're not seeing inside the husk. So the crop ratings are not going to show that. So the yield models are not going to show that. Until enough people start reporting the issue and those people who fill out the surveys start reflecting that in their crop ratings.
Arlen, I do need to ask you about trade. That's the other big thing that's in the markets and in the headlines. It sounds like we have another agreement this time with Indonesia. There's, of course, still a lot of talk about U.S.-China relations and where things stand there and all these potential tariffs on August 1. What's your assessment of this whole trade tariff conversation? How much is it or is it not impacting market sentiment right now?
Well, it certainly raises the uncertainty that we have out there. The Indonesia agreement doesn't sound to me like it's quite finished yet, but it looks like it's patterned after the model we have with Vietnam. One thing that was notably absent was the higher tariff on transshipments. In other words, China to ship things through Indonesia. I look for that to be added if possible going forward. I do think we'll see more agreements. But basically, soybeans have been trading at times disappointment that China's not involved in the markets right now. This is July is the month when China typically really ramps up its purchases of U.S. soybeans for all delivery, and it is largely absent at this point. Other than that, the commodity markets really aren't trading this because they're saying, let everything get sorted out, and then we'll trade it. We'll focus on the things that we know, which is weather and export sales and shipments and crush numbers and feeding and stuff like that, because of the uncertainty. They're becoming numb to the headlines. I think it becomes more of an issue the closer we get to the new marketing year for soybeans if China remains absent. That would be more of a soybean issue. As far as the corn and wheat markets, it's really not an issue. I do think that the door has been opened for Vietnam to buy more ag commodities, for Indonesia to buy more ag commodities. That door has swung wide open. I think that'll be a positive, but I don't think it's something the market is currently trading. We need a big blockbuster deal like with China. I don't think we're anywhere close to that at this point. I wish we were, but I don't see the signs that we are yet.
Final minute. I knew we wouldn't get to all the topics that I wanted to touch on with you today, Arlen, but final thoughts, anything you would leave producers with as we watch these markets maybe bumping up against some downtrend channel lines in corn, for instance, et cetera? I mean, and what would you leave folks with here today?
Well, as I've been saying for the last year, this is the time to be defensive in our marketing. It's not going to be easy, but we have to focus on doing as much as we can to minimize our losses and protect as much of our equity as we can during this down cycle in the ag economy right now.
As always, remember that risk of trading futures and options can be substantial. With that, Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. Always good to talk with you, my friend. Thank you for joining us here on AOA today. Have a great week, Arlen.
You too, Jesse.
Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, joining us here for Market Conversation. Some wise words from Arlen. He is no doubt one of the best in the business, in my opinion. And hopefully folks can take his words there and think about those, especially when it comes to that whole yield model conversation and so much more. All right, coming up next here on AOA, we're going to talk about a bit of a rebrand for a program with the Red Angus Association. It's now called Angus Access. We're going to learn about that with Katie Martin, their Director of Communications, next on AOA.
Lanny went to college and racked up huge debt.
A little bit over $100,000.
For a degree he couldn't use? Now what?
I had a friend that went to my computer career.
They even helped him get hired immediately after graduation.
One of the things I love about IT is that you can work from anywhere you want.
You could become an IT pro in just months, including cybersecurity and the basics of AI, with zero experience at mycomputercareer.edu.
It worked for me, and I know it can work for you.
This is one student's experience. Individual results vary.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. People who are actively looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-517-9383. That's 800-517-9383. 800-517-9383.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
As we continue here today on Agriculture of America, let's learn more about a rebrand for the Red Angus Association of America. They've rebranded their feeder calf certification program. It's now called Angus Access. Here to tell us more about it, she is the Red Angus Association of America Director of Communications, Katie Martin. Katie, welcome into the show. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit more about the rebrand of this program. Why Angus Access? Why the rebrand? Can you give us a little background here?
Sure. As you mentioned, the Red Angus Association recently rebranded our feeder calf certification program, commonly known as FCCP, to Angus Access. This change aligns with today's beef market while preserving everything that producers have come to trust about the program for the past 30 years. We're actually celebrating our 30-year anniversary today, so it seemed like a relevant time to refresh the program and do the rebrand to reflect what it means to producers today. Red Angus cattle produce high-quality Angus beef, and this new name helps bridge that connection for buyers in a way that's both clear and competitive.
Oh, and you think about a rebrand, and you mentioned it, the evolving landscape when it comes to, you know, retail and consumers and throughout the industry in general. We've seen a lot of changes here across the entire beef industry in the last several years, haven't we, Katie?
Absolutely. Yeah, there is an increased level of expectation among buyers, packers, and the consumer side for verification in the beef cattle supply chain. And our program has long provided that verification. We were actually the beef industry's first age source and genetic verification program, so we're very proud of that history. The program has traditionally served producers very well because it's cost-effective and producer-focused. So we're excited to be able to further communicate that message that Red Angus cattle produce high-quality beef to the consumer level with this rebrand.
Talk about how the program works, maybe for folks who aren't fully aware or need a refresher. And on top of that, with the FCCP changing over to Angus Access, will there be any sort of changes to the program, or is it going to be a smooth transition and just a name rebrand? Talk about all this for us.
Absolutely. The enrollment process is very simple, and the enrollment process will not change for our current customers that might have that question. It's really a simple phone call into our value-added department. They'll go through a questionnaire with the producer, and it's a fairly simple questionnaire, maybe more simple than some other value-added programs available in the industry. And our tag department will take care of the customers from day one. We do have another change coming down the pipeline since you asked that question. The program will be transitioning to EID only starting January 1st of 2026. That is really just to align again with industry changes. There is a higher demand from buyers and packers for EID. It increases our competitiveness and makes it more likely for those buyers to be interested in those cattle when they're already carrying the EIDs that will be required in both the feeder and the packer sector. So we do want to make sure that our current customers are taken care of. We will continue to honor any tags that are have been previously purchased through mid-year of 2027. But just so everybody's aware, that transition to EIDs will happen the first of next year.
All right. And again, it's a change for the feeder calf certification program over to Angus Access with the Red Angus Association of America. Katie Martin, their director of communications, joining us. And, you know, kind of coming back to this, you mentioned the change to EID. That's such a hot topic. It's becoming more of an industry standard here, as you mentioned. But kind of back to the consumer side of this, I know that you mentioned transparency and so much more. And I think that's a big conversation happening right now amongst consumers, is they want to know where their beef is coming from when they're at the grocery store. And you see a lot of this, you know, private labels at the meat case, or even direct to consumer type of things, et cetera. So a lot of this, to your points, it comes back to adding to that transparency for consumers, right?
Absolutely. And because we're an age and source and genetic verification program, that source component really can play well into any beef brands that would like to further implement that story behind the products for consumers. So we definitely allow a pathway for that if beef brands wish to implement that and make that part of their marketing.
Katie, if folks want to learn more about Angus Access, or they want to stay up to date with everything going on at the Red Angus Association of America, I'm sure going online is probably a great place to start, right?
Of course, yep. Our website, redangus.org, is a great place to find information. If you do wish to reach out directly to our value-added department and find out more or enroll in our value-added programs, including Angus Access, that email would be tags@redangus.org.
Katie, final thoughts. We got about a minute here. Anything else you'd mention, or anything you'd reiterate to producers about the Angus Access program?
I'm just really excited about the direction that the Red Angus breed is going. We continue to grow in cow numbers year after year, and I think that this change in our value-added program aligns with the direction that the breed is going in terms of growth and providing additional marketing opportunities.
Well, again, folks can go to redangus.org for more information. And with that, Katie Martin, Director of Communications for the Red Angus Association of America, thanks for joining us here on AOA today. Have a great week, Katie. We'll talk to you again in the future.
Thank you.
And that is going to do it for today's Agriculture of America program. Again, you can learn more. Just go to redangus.org. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we got another great lineup for you. We're going to get some updated details on 45Z, the extension of that clean fuel tax credit in the budget bill, and more. Mitchell Hoare with Continuum Ag will join us for a conversation. We're also going to get an update on the U.S. getting out of this tomato situation with Mexico, the tomato suspension agreement. We're going to talk about that with Robert Gunther from Florida Tomato. Also markets with Mike Zuzolo from Global Commodity Analytics. All that and more coming up on tomorrow's AOA. For now, I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for joining us. Have a great rest of your day.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number TC83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
Think back to the last time you were in nature. What comes to mind? Hiking through a lush forest, floating on a lazy river, or perhaps watching a vibrant sunset on a beach full of glistening plastic?
More fiber and laxatives, eh?
Who are you?
I'm future you.
Future me?
Constipation with belly pain still coming back? Our doctor figured it out. It's irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. And Linzess could help you get ahead of it.
Linzess Linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
We're here because you're here. Shopping locally and listening locally. On your radio, smartphone, computer, and tablet. Real Country, 1430 AM stereo. WRDN, Durand, Kellogg, Stockholm. And 107.3 FM, translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. House lawmakers taking up a cryptocurrency package after 12 Republicans joined Democrats yesterday to block it from advancing. President Trump spoke to holdouts and has their support.